This is Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
I'm not crazy. I've just been in a very bad mood for 40 years.
I already got a guilty conscience. Might as well have the money, too.
With him, as always, Dan Muir.
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
And Cassie George.
That is so fetch.
Discussing the important topics and finding the real answers.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, a stormy, sort of rainy Friday afternoon here in Colorado. So welcome. This is the Friday edition, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate, party of choice, joining us, and Dave Keita sitting in, or am I going to say it that way?
Yeah.
Or you want to go by Scoop? Which one do you want to go by?
No, Dave Keita.
Dave, okay. So Dave's joining us as well. Cassie had an emergency she had to go take care of, so she is not with us. And Dan is out driving around somewhere.
Probably driving.
Now, before we get into the movie reviews, Andy, you wanted to talk a little bit about the Texas shooting, which, by the way, one of the things that we tend to do on this show is not talk a lot about those events until we have more information and more things come out. But there is some basic things that we can say right off the bat, and I think that's what Andy wants to do here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour.
Absolutely, John. I don't want to go into the shooting, you know, at the Santa Fe High School in Texas in itself. Like you said, there's too many details still coming out. Okay, he used his father's guns, and they were legally purchased. And, you know, but there's, you know, there's literally 90, 95% of this thing that we don't know about yet.
Correct.
Here's what I want to talk about. School choice.
Okay.
It is really time for school choice, and people are wondering, what, school choice? Why are you talking? Here's why, John. We often talk about school choice in terms of quality of education and content of education, right? We don't want our kids going to a school that maybe, you know, the graduation rates are very low, the quality is low, and we also don't want them going in and hearing all kinds of liberal propaganda or anti-God propaganda, because we're paying for this stuff. And we want to be able to choose another school. Let's set all that aside today. I want to look at another thing. Why should parents have to pay twice to keep their kids out of these killing zones?
It's always been my point.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, it's not fair, John. It's not fair, and I'm really angry about this. Look, if you had, let's say you had two schools, and I mean not just conservative parents are looking at these schools, even liberal or especially ones in the middle are looking at these two schools. The first school, School A, they come out and they say, we're going to hire lots more mental health experts and counselors, that we're going to identify all these problems before they happen and identify these problem kids. And that's how we're going to keep you safe. And the second, which, by the way, if they do that, that's going to be incredibly expensive, right? It's going to take a lot of money out of the classroom. The second school says we are going to have several, not one security officer, but several people at our school, well-trained, concealed carry. The bad guys are not going to be able to isolate and take that person out first because they know who it is. They don't know where it's going to be coming from. Several teachers, administrators, well-trained, highly skilled, and psychologically profiled, the whole thing, which we often do with teachers anyway.
Right. Agree.
And that is how we are going to protect your kids. And by the way, that leaves way more money for the classroom itself and quality of education. You tell me, John. You tell me, Dave. Where would anybody but the very hard left put their kids?
Well, I think in school B there in that situation, absolutely.
B, C, D, E, F, G, that's the whole idea. It's not even just one or two. It's multiple choice when you have school choice, correct?
Right. Well, go ahead.
And I couldn't agree with you more about this thing. And my only problem with these types of solutions is it's not even addressing at all the cause of the problem, and which I don't even know exactly what it is. Obviously, these kids, something happens to them, and they want to do these things, which I think it would be great to address that somehow. I'm not sure how, but I think starting a discussion about it would probably be a good place to start. But, I mean, in the meantime, I do agree with your school choice. You should be able to choose where you take your children so that you can feel safe, so that they can feel safe, so they can actually learn something.
Hey, real quick, can you hit the start broadcast for Facebook Live since I forgot? Sorry, I know we're like 5 minutes into the show, so we'll be a little behind on Facebook Live. Sorry, folks. If you're listening or typically watching on Facebook Live, sorry, I forgot.
You know what, John? I suddenly feel more alive.
Because we're on Facebook Live? Sorry.
Yes.
My bad.
Well, you know,
I just normally do it, so, you know.
Anyway. As you guys already know, I was raised in, you know, not only a hardcore left family, but I was raised in an academic left family. My dad was my principal. Both he and my brother have master's degrees in education. I was raised in the academic left, that hardcore, you know, protecting of school, public schools at all costs. Okay. And I can tell you, having come from that environment, it is that environment and the teachings therein that have driven, in my view, much of the problem that is causing these shootings. Okay? I don't want to really go into it because it's too big of an issue. It's talking about all the, you know, all the values that are taught and so forth.
Right.
Okay, but basically this entitlement mentality, lack of responsibility and so forth. Mm-hmm. Getting back to school choice. Okay? It is not fair. Right now, parents have to pay twice.
Yes.
They want to put, because you always have to put your taxes in there.
That's right.
Okay. Look, I look at it like fast food. You are guaranteed to have to pay for McDonald's before you choose to go anywhere else. So why would you go to Burger King or wherever else when your money's already going to McDonald's? Your money already has to go to public schools. You don't have a choice. And these are killing zones. They are virtually completely unprotected. Okay, you have virtually nobody there to shoot back, virtually nobody there who's trained. You have money wasted on counselors to whom these kids aren't even going to go. Okay, and meanwhile, you could have other options. Hey, what about homeschooling? Mm-hmm. Your kid is going to be safe if you homeschool. Right. That's pretty expensive. How much were you saying that costs, John?
I think, and don't quote me on this, folks, but I believe in a homeschool, you know, parent could actually call in and tell us, but I believe material is around $1,500 a year, but I don't know that for positive.
Okay, so let's say $1,500 a year plus your own personal time, right?
Correct.
You don't have that public babysitter
Correct.
Where you get to put your
Correct.
Kid and you're freed up to do other things. Okay, or you can put them into a private school, School B, where you know that there are many people who are concealed carry, mm-hmm. where if somebody wants to go off, there are going to be bullets coming their way immediately.
Some of those places can be incredibly expensive, though, too.
Sure. Right? They could be incredibly expensive.
But you have to pay twice on top of it.
Yes. You have
to
pay.
And in a way that would normally work, the way Andrew's referring to school choice, folks, everybody listening, is the way we would do that. And it's been accomplished in certain areas. We've tried it in areas here, and the unions, teachers' unions continually to shoot these type of ideas down. But the way it would work is if you've got kids that need to go to school, you would get a voucher for your particular area of whatever a school board would decide that voucher program could be. So let's say, for example, in Jeffco and Dougco, on average, it's about, I don't know, $12,000 a year to educate a kid there.
Right.
So let's say you want some overhead costs to come out of that. You know, you got to be able to monitor the program and, you know, write the checks and do all the things that you need when it comes to everything that's still involved in that, because that pupil still has to be, you know, accounted for and checked in on and all those sorts of things. So let's say that off the top you need, I don't know, $2,000 out of the 12 to make sure that all of what I just said happens.
Okay.
Then you get a voucher to the parent for the $10,000. With the $10,000, that parent then is able to, if they want to go spend 20 and make up the other 10, Dave, great.
Right.
They've got half of it paid for. If on the other hand, they can find a private school for 10, which by the way, there's some in our town right now that are less than 10. So if you wanted to go pay for private schooling, you'd have the $10,000 to actually go fund that, and off you go. So right now, that program today, as it stands, would work easily. We just don't have it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you could, if you even had a lower voucher amount that saved the taxpayers money, people would still jump at it.
Agree.
They would jump, okay, I only get 8, but I got to pay the other 2. They
That's
would jump
right.
at putting their money into a place where, once again, even forget about quality and ideology. Their kid would be safer.
Well, and on top of that, Andy, every kid would be safer. Here's why. Because you know what I'm going to say next.
Go ahead.
Competition breeds excellence.
Yes.
So as there's other schools out there doing these things and making their kids safer, making those kids safer, well, the other schools have to say, well, wait a minute. Every year our attendance is dropping because they're going to school B that actually does a good job of protecting the kids. So, you know, we at school A better make sure we're doing the same thing, or even maybe one step better than what school B is doing, so we can keep our attendance back up. So what that does is it creates, you know, competition creates excellence. It's simple as that. And given that, that's why a voucher program would work. It's plain and simple.
Exactly. Well,
the problem is the teacher unions don't like it because they don't want competition.
They don't want competition, and they also are ideologically driven. I know this. I come from it. They're ideologically driven. They want Americans disarmed because they want them dependent on government. And I don't care if that sounds conspiracy kook. I was raised in it. Yeah, okay? Right. I was raised to push this.
Right.
All right? They absolutely want that. They want you disarmed, and so they want you to learn, to start learning about disarmament where? In
school.
Public school.
That's right.
The first 12, you know, 12
Let's
years.
Get you brainwashed right off
life.
The bat.
Exactly.
That's right.
I think, I wish, John, that parents could rise up and sue the government for forcing them to pay twice if they want to put their kids in a safer environment. I think that that is insane. I don't think it should be legal. I don't think it should be allowed.
Hmm, interesting. Okay, let's do this. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come right back. Arvada West Truck and Auto coming up next, and they would love to take care of you and your vehicle. Whatever you need, they are there for you. Full bumper-to-bumper service, and they will take care of you. 303-422-1065, 11752 West 64th, ArvadaWestTruckAndAuto.com. Call them today. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
No one knows your car better than you do. So when you come to Arvada West Auto and Truck, they're going to have some questions about your car that only you can answer. They'll ask things like,
have you turned your AC on in the past month?
And
has your car been feeling a little sluggish?
Or
have you noticed that you've been filling your tank more frequently?
Would your answer be, The guys at Arvada West Auto will help you keep your car in perfect running order, but they need your help. Pay close attention to your car. Sometimes the small details tell a bigger story. And if you pay attention to the little things now, Arvada West Auto and Truck will help you avoid big problems later. Listen to what your car is telling you and call Arvada West Auto and Truck at 303-422-1065 today.
Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. Make sure that you've got your estate in order today, 720-394-6887. That's Michael Bailey Law. He'll meet you anywhere up and down the Front Range. Give him a call today. When you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
You are one of the 2 out of 10 adults out there who've already called Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, to write your will. That is awesome. Congratulations on really being on the ball and planning ahead so your family can concentrate on what is really important instead of fighting over your money and assets. But your estate plan isn't something you can just do once and forget about. You need to think about all the ways your life has changed. Think about all the assets that you've acquired since your will was written. Think about how your family has grown. You don't want to leave anything or anybody out, and life can change quickly. The best way to make sure your wishes are current is to call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, again. He'll come to you to make sure when your time comes, your wishes are clear. You haven't accidentally left anybody out, and your family will be able to focus on remembering the good years. Call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, at 720-394-6887 and make sure your plan is up to date today.
Get a job. Avoid public transit. Listen to the radio. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560, The Source.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, Andy Pate, Party of Choice. Dave with us as well, Dave Kita, and we are now going to do movie reviews. So thanks for giving us a little bit of time there to talk about the shootings and school choice and things that affect that. So Andy, take it away.
All right. John, one of my favorite comedic actors, Ryan Reynolds, is back with a few more laughs, a little less nudity, and a lot more crazy action in Deadpool 2.
We're getting close.
You all know the drill. Intercept the convoy. Watch out for Cable. Hit it!
There's this kid. He's in trouble.
Move or die.
Pump the hate brakes, Thanos.
I ain't letting Cable get to him. But I can't do this alone.
We need backup.
We're gonna form a super duper group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
Meet Bedlam.
My name's Shatterstar.
Domino, I'm Lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
And certainly not very cinematic.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't.
All right, it's showtime.
Don't call it a comeback! I've been here for years!
That is Deadpool. Now, Deadpool is sort of a Marvel anti-hero. Did either of you see the first one?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Okay, you loved the first
one. Great action, you know, it was over the top. Of course, I wouldn't show it to my kids.
Did you, Dave, did you ever watch the TV show Moonlighting?
Yeah.
Okay, remember how in that show the characters are constantly looking at the audience and talking to you?
Yeah, the fourth wall break, right.
And making fun of their own show.
Yeah, very self-aware.
Exactly. Well, that's what Deadpool is in the Marvel Universe. He's an anti-hero. His mutant abilities are super healing powers like Wolverine and super agility and fighting skills like, well, I don't know, Black Widow, Captain America, Spider-Man, pretty much everyone since CGI was invented, right? I mean, he doesn't have any special powers except that he's really fast and agile and a great killing machine.
He's snarky.
And he's very snarky. But he had that beforehand, before he got his abilities. The story is pretty simple. To open the movie, Deadpool experiences personal tragedy. Okay, we often see that. Then must find purpose while trying to save a young mutant boy from a powerful soldier who has come from the future to kill him. That soldier is Cable. He's a well-known character from the Marvel Universe. Cable is well-known in the Marvel Universe as a time traveler. I'm not sure how much you've...
Yeah, he's pretty sweet.
Okay, yeah, so you're pretty affiliated. Okay, you got it.
A glowy eye.
Exactly. Well, like Deadpool, Cable has experienced great loss as well and is hoping to change the past to stop it. Cable is mostly human, but part machine, a great fighter, and carries a huge multi-purpose gun. I like that. He's too much for Deadpool alone, so Deadpool must form a team to stop him. This team appears to have come from the island of misfit heroes. I really think so. They're freaks whose action figures won't sell in any toy store. The interview process alone was pretty funny. It really was, when he's interviewing potential members of the team, and he has to decide who has the skills, who doesn't, and who has a cool name, which is really important. You got to have a cool name.
It was like Mystery Man, like that scene in Mystery Man.
Exactly like it really was. It was a takeoff on the Mystery Man scene, interview scene. I liked it. Eventually, Deadpool must accept that Cable might not be all bad, and that his mission of killing the mutant boy might have some merit, or might not. And that's what you got to figure out along the way. All right? Well, here's what works. Ryan Reynolds is what works. He is one of the most natural, wisecracking muscle guys in Hollywood. He really is. He's hilarious when he is on, and when he isn't on, he's still likable. That's Ryan. He is just a sure thing, Ryan Reynolds. Even if the movie's awful, he's good. Josh Brolin is excellent as Cable, the future man on a mission. There is a drawn-out scene regarding short legs, that is one of the best sight gags ever, and it goes on for like 10 minutes. It is hilarious, and they play it out. Wonderful scene, just one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a long time. There's a Bond-style opening that is very funny. James Bond-style opening, which I really liked. The best part of the movie, though, and I'm not kidding, and I think everyone in the audience last night would agree, is at the end, after the movie is over. So you stick around. The outtakes and what they do with it is hysterical. And that's actually the best part of the movie. People were falling over laughing at that. All right?
Okay.
What overall, this sequel is funnier than the first movie and less pornographic. And it's also very moonlighting, just like the first one, you know, mocking itself, talking about itself, talking about sequel money and all this kind of stuff. So it's that kind of fun. Okay, here's what doesn't work. Oh, man, did this thing need some editing.
Okay.
This is almost a two-hour movie, John, and with a one-hour story.
Okay.
And you just saw it scene after scene. There were several scenes. They had this prison scene, which they literally could have cut virtually the entire thing. I mean, it just wasn't hitting. A lot of their jokes, their quips were going nowhere. Even some of the good scenes could have been shortened. I constantly found myself waving my hand in the air, which is my way of, you know, my wife sitting next to me. She knows the signal. It's get on with it. Move on. Move, move, move. The thing's slowing down. Scene after scene was slowed down, dragged out. The joke was played out, and it just wasn't working. Let me see here. What else? There was a death scene that ends more times than the Lord of the Rings Return of the King. Okay? It just would not end. And that's funny at first. It's really funny. Pee Wee Herman.
From Buffy the Vampire
Buffy
Slayer.
The Vampire Slayer. Where he keeps dying and dying and dying. Very funny. But it wasn't 10 minutes.
Right.
Exactly. It's funny at first, but only the short leg scene was priceless from start to finish. And each scene, it just seemed, was dragged an extra 20% or 30% or more longer than it should have been. It just felt that way. They just didn't have enough story. The side characters were fine, but not very interesting. except for Domino. There needed to be a couple more funny minor roles. They really needed that, but that would have taken more writing. And they did not have enough writing, not in my opinion. I literally cared more about the puppets in Team America than the characters in this Deadpool 2. I did. I didn't care. And I understand it's a wacko comedy. You're not supposed to care about the characters, but you are, because that makes it funnier.
You still are.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't care and couldn't care. Let's see here. There were several gratuitous swipes at Republicans. Remember, the first movie was totally apolitical.
Right.
No politics. This movie... early on had a lot of politics. Several swipes at Republicans and people associated with them, such as George Bush, Fox and Friends, Jared Kushner. Old white guys were supposedly pedophiles. The gay people were perfect, while the creepiest villain was spouting Christianese. It was completely one-sided, zero balance. All right? Now, I know, guys, I know we conservatives are told to just brush off the needless insults and enjoy the movie, right? That's what we're always told. Mm-hmm. But if it's that unimportant, then why can't Hollywood not do it? Okay? If us ignoring the sermon is that important, how about them not preaching it?
Okay.
Right? It's obviously very important to these filmmakers to show how much they hate me. So am I supposed to be thrilled about that? I mean, I'm half their market. I'm not thrilled about it. And fortunately, except for the creepy villain spouting Christianese, the political jibes were only in the early portion of the movie. Thankfully, they ended. But it was just pointless.
Well, that's probably due to bad writing, too. They thought they were being funny.
Right. And as I've said before, whether you're left or right, Christian or atheist, if you're focusing on your agenda a lot, it's probably going to affect your writing. It generally does. Mm-hmm. It's not often that people can preach and entertain at the same time. All right. This got 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. For quality, I'm only giving it 2.5 stars. And it just dragged too much. The funny parts were hilarious, but it just dragged too much. Political, I'm giving it 1.5 stars, only because at least it gave up early on and didn't keep doing it. More religious, I'm giving it 1 star. And that's probably being kind.
Okay.
There you go. So if you want to see the sequel to Deadpool, it's funnier, it's less pornographic, you're going to be insulted. But it's still worth a see, and please stay past the end.
Okay. Bristol Cone Shooting is coming up next, and they have got a one-stop shop for all of your shooting needs. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, it doesn't matter. They will take care of you today. Don't forget to ask about their $99 summer shooting memberships available at Bristol Cone Shooting. It's bristleconeshooting.com, 303-985-0989. Give them a call today. When you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Bristol Cone Shooting Training and Retail Center caters to all levels of shooters, from the beginner, who's never held a gun, to the firearm enthusiast like John Rush, who owns more guns than he'd even like to admit. At Bristol Cone, beginners become masters, while masters continue to build and maintain their skills. On any given day at Bristol Cone, you may find a beginner attending an intro to pistol class, while a master hones his reflexes in the virtual simulator. Side by side at the range, you might see a mother teaching her 10-year-old daughter how to load a .22, while a 70-year-old man in the next lane practices his quick draw from a holster. In the same week, owners Jacqueline and Brian Clark could host a youth competition and a USPSA or GSSF league match. Whether you want to enjoy the sport of shooting or develop the skill of self-defense, Bristol Cone Shooting Training and Retail Center has something for you. Stop by the range in Lakewood near the corner of Alameda and Union today.
Hey, it must be an election year. The Colorado State Legislature brought forward repeats of the same business-squeezing, rights-squishing bills. What passed and what is sure to come back next year?
Joining us Monday is Chelsea Spencer with Principles of Liberty. Thank goodness someone took one for the team and reviewed most of the 700-plus proposed bills at the state capitol this past session.
That's a lot. If you're one of the 5.5 million Coloradans who didn't have time to review all of them yourselves,
tune into the AmeriChick Show with
Molly Vogt
and Kim Munson Monday, 6 to 7 a.m. on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate, Party of Choice, Dave Keita with us as well. And the next movie is Show Dogs.
Exactly. A couple times a year, John, Hollywood puts out these live action kids movies with animals who can talk. you know, where they have CGI in the mouths, so they, their mouths move to the words and they're actually speaking.
You know what? I don't mind talking animal movies. I just don't like it when they make their mouth move. Remember the Incredible Journey?
Yeah.
From the 80s? I like that because they're just talking to each other, just saying kind of their thoughts.
Right.
You didn't have to do the weird.
Right.
Like they do with the babies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, got it.
It's just kind of creepy, to be quite honest, when they're moving their mouths and they're talking like people.
Right.
And I don't know, but some of these movies can be very funny. Some can be very funny, and it all depends on if they can pull it off. I don't know. I mean, how many do they do a year, would you say?
Talking animal movies?
Yeah. Three, four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
It's kind of played out, so. Are we ready?
Okay.
No, we're not ready.
Keep going there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, let me jump in a little bit on this.
It's also, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You're fine. Go ahead, Andy. Go ahead.
This movie stars the rapper Ludacris, who's AKA Chris Bridges, who can, by the way, is a pretty fun actor. I enjoy some of his roles. And he plays Max, who is a Rottweiler police dog working for the NYPD. Max is aggressive and street smart, always wanting to bust the next criminal. So that's Max. All right. He loves the NYPD, but he has no time for the feds since they tend to mess with his cases. Are we about ready here? Okay, let's get into this.
Okay.
The latest film that you have animals who can talk is Show Dogs.
I'm Max. I'm an undercover cop working a kidnapping case. A baby panda was stolen, and they're using a dog show as a front for animal smuggling.
Why are there dogs in this meeting?
That's what partners are for.
What is happening in this town?
Let's take these smugglers down.
Now, they're at the world's most exclusive dog show.
You're here, Bow to the King.
You were kidding me, right?
And Max.
Are we in the right place? I could have swore we were backstage at a Cirque du Soleil.
What?
He's on a mission.
Wait, you're a cop?
I'm working undercover.
What if you actually won the whole show?
Nope.
Hey, you do remember I bite, right? All right, coach, what's our first move?
I shall turn you into the show dog.
Huh? Oh, boy.
And some help from friends.
I'm deputizing both of you.
Yes, sir.
I accept, but I get to be the bad cop.
They just might.
Hang on, kid, I'm coming.
Solve the case. From the director of Beverly Hills Chihuahua, The Smurfs, and Scooby-Doo.
A team of crime fighters.
With license to bite. I got my shades on, I
come back in. John, I know how much you love kid movies.
Wow.
But we've had a number of people, you know, write in, call in, and so forth, and what have they said? They
want to make sure there's kid movies out.
Exactly. Well, they want to make sure, hey, Andy, tell us about these kid shows. Are they going to be too violent, too much sex, or are they going to be, you know, programming my kid to be an activist at CU? Okay.
Right. So you don't have to see them twice.
Exactly. You know, and they also just want to know, hey, are there some good kid movies coming out? Because it's wonderful to be able to take my child to a movie, which is a babysitter, for an hour and a half to really 2 hours, you know, because you got to get them in their seats, get the candy and that kind of stuff. It's a great thing for parents.
Right.
I've had a hard time. We have not had many good kid movies.
Smurfs was actually pretty good. It said at the end of that preview that the director of the same director as Smurfs, and Smurf was actually a pretty good movie. My kids like that one.
The first Smurfs.
It's like the new kind of animated reboot.
Yeah, Smurfette.
Like the hero, the heroine.
Right.
It was pretty good. It was cute. You know, it wasn't like the best movie, but it's a kid's movie, and they liked it.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, this one, once again, you have Max the Rottweiler. Okay. And he doesn't like the FBI. Why? Because they're always busting in on his cases. They're messing with his caseload. Well, unfortunately, there's a case of rare animal smuggling that has come up, and that involves the FBI, right? Because it's a national crime. Someone has stolen a cute baby panda. So enter FBI agent Frank, who is played by Will Arnett. You've seen him in a number of things. Frank knows nothing about dogs, and he doesn't care. He and Max despise each other immediately, but they both want to bust this smuggling ring. So they must work together by going undercover at a prestigious dog show where they can contact the smugglers, since some of the elite dogs are also targets. These dogs could be worth millions of dollars. And so the smugglers also want to steal and sell these dogs. So they want to work at the dog show. But Max is a police dog, not a show dog. So both he and Frank must reluctantly train to walk the catwalk and play the part of proud owner and prize pet. Do you remember a movie where this was done with a cop? Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It sounds like Miss Congeniality.
Exactly.
Or
And exactly.
All those, a lot of cliches in the whole storyline.
Total cliches. And by the way, was Miss Congeniality a good movie?
It was all right. Yeah.
It was funny.
Good. Yeah.
Right? It was fun. And, this has a Miss Congeniality feel to it, only with dogs instead of Sandra Bullock. And somehow Max and Frank must fit into this glitzy dog show modeling world and catch the dangerous poachers and smugglers, all while rescuing an innocent baby panda. Now, does that sound like a good setup? I mean, think so.
Sure.
That sounds fun.
Maybe.
For kids, John, for kids. Jeez. You're so harsh. You're so cold.
Sorry.
Yes. By the way, everybody, I want you to know the weather outside, John caused it.
I know. It's getting worse.
Okay. He actually brought this to you with his mood. All right. Here's what works in this movie. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Nothing works in this movie. This is the worst kid movie I've seen in, well, golly, it's got to be a year. What doesn't work? Everything. The humor is terrible. It's horrible. The characters are wickedly bad stereotypes. You know, French dog, Hispanic dog, former winner, current spoiled winner, all boring. Just boring, boring, boring. The kids in the audience were ready to go children of the corn on the parents. It was getting dangerous. Even I felt endangered. Several were pointing at me, you know, they're hissing, adult, kill the adult, kill the adult. They did this to us. The kids were very upset. You never want to be in a movie where there are kids in the audience and you hear silence.
What's a gamble just taking kids to a movie?
Exactly. And I'm telling you guys, there was a lot of silence. I heard snickers, I think once. Twice. No, there was twice. And that's it. We're talking an hour and a half.
It was?
What?
That's how bad it was.
Oh, my gosh. It was horrible. So, you know, let me put it this way. The gun, you know, right now with the school thing, you have gun control activists are out there. Let me tell you something. There isn't a single gun control activist who wouldn't gladly take up arms to stop the making of this movie.
It's that bad.
Huh? That's bad. So this thing somehow magically got 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have no idea who they bribed. I'm not sure how they did it. I'm giving this on quality. I'm giving it 0. Political, 3. It was neutral political. Moral religious, I'm also giving it 0 because this is one of those where it shakes my faith to believe that a loving God could allow this to happen. Do not take your kids to this movie unless you really don't like yourself and maybe are not that fond of them either.
Okay.
Show dogs.
Wow, that's rough.
Nice line at the end.
I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel. I felt violated. I took
that's
one for the
rough,
team.
Rough, rough, rough.
That's rough.
How do movies like that get made? I don't understand. They're
you
so
know, that
bad.
Line would have actually been a featured line in this movie, John.
Really?
I feel, like I said, I took one for the team this week.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
All right, so real quick, we got time before we take our next break. Anything else decent worth seeing? I know we, you know, other things will be coming up that you'll be reviewing, so I don't want to spoil anything, but anything else worth seeing over the weekend?
Oh, gosh. That came out. It's been a week time. Let's see. Breaking In was bad. Life of the Party, bad. Overboard, bad. A Quiet Place. If you have not seen A Quiet Place yet, and a lot of people still have not,
I haven't yet.
It's
I a monster. It was really good.
Monster
really
movie. Yes. I mean, Avengers of Infinity War, if you haven't seen it yet, I advise it. Okay. It's got its weaknesses, but it's still very good. 4-star. A Quiet Place, I gave 4.5 stars, I think. Very well done monster movie. And that's definitely worth seeing. I Feel Pretty, no. Rampage, no. My goodness.
Next week, though.
It's a bad time. Next week.
Though, I want to go see Solo. I think it's going to be great.
I'm going to be there.
I'm excited.
I'll be there. You know, got my seats ready. And I'm hopeful. I mean, how
Last
can you
Jedi disappointed me a lot. But I'm still hopeful that, it, especially since Ron Howard was involved, and I really like Donald Glover, I think it's going to be good.
Tell me this, Dave. I mean, you're a Star Wars guy like me.
Right.
What has gone wrong with the new breed of Star Wars movies? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like The Force Awakens a lot, but remember, the first ones were so fresh. You had such almost kinetic chemistry between the main characters, Luke, Han, Leia, and Chewie, and so forth. And since then, they've gotten boring. You tell me why.
I have a theory, at least.
Okay.
I think that, especially since the old ones were brand new to us back then, you know, in the 70s and 80s, they were brand
new.
Nothing like that had ever really been made. We hadn't really seen anything like that before. So I think that plays into it. But also, there's a trend in modern movies where rather than good writing and developing characters and making a good plot, it's like the series of scenes that are all kind of mushed together into this kind of discombobulated story, which happens to a lot. And I think one of the reasons why people are so disappointed, or a lot of people are so disappointed in Star Wars movies, is that we're holding them to a different standard because we had this idea of what Star Wars was and we loved it so much and we all grew up with it, and then now we see it and we're like, ah, it's not what we wanted, and so we hate it, right? I think it's a mix of that plus the bad standard of writing. You see that, I mean, we just saw it in Show Dogs. I mean, that's some of the worst writing. And you see it in a lot of the Marvel movies. The characters are flat. You know, I just watched Black Panther, and they had such good potential to do it, but they wasted so much time with these scenes that didn't really mean anything to the story that they could have really, like, it seems like it needs revision. Everything
it
needs revision.
It was visually breathtaking, but they had great potential because you had some terrific characters, you didn't do enough with them.
Well, and then the good bad guy, like, why do they have two bad guys? And then the whole
right.
The whole two fight scenes for the throne thing, they could have combined all of these things together and made it a much better, more concise, better movie. And I don't know, particularly Andy Serkis in Black Panther, he was such a great bad guy. And then you're like, what happened?
You know, one thing that I always, and John knows this, I'm always preaching pace.
Right.
It's one of the big
pace
things
the
for a movie.
Right.
What if you took the creators of the latest Jumanji and had them make the next Star Wars and had that kind of a pace and freshness
right.
and funness throughout it, you know, where it would only slow down to allow Jack Black to do some really, you know, good humorous stuff and then get back into the action and so forth. What if you had somebody, because it feels like these Star Wars movies are these big drawn out epic flops.
Plus there's
a lot
the
of the time.
Disney high executive left wing girl power, LGBT liberal agenda that they kind of mush into all the movies now.
Right. It's hard to be fun when you're preaching.
And it's like they don't do it over the top with Star Wars, but it's still supposed to be there, like subliminally, even though it's kind of like in your face. You know, it's just really obvious, and it's kind of it just doesn't need if I'm all for some of that stuff. You know, girl power, I'm all for heroines and women generals and all that.
Aliens.
I think that's great. Exactly.
Sigourney
Weaver. I think it's great. But when it's just shoved in there and it's not really appropriate to the story, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Why would you do that just because you're trying to make a point and you don't have good enough writers to, like, make it all go in there?
Well, and you bring up a great point because, once again, Jumanji, did it preach at all?
No.
No.
Right, exactly, exactly. That's
no
one thing that made it
sermon,
good, right?
Just
well, like The
story.
Last Jedi was... half of a movie on one side that was pretty good and another half of a movie on this other side that was not very good.
There should be
didn't
no.
Didn't mean anything to the other part of
it was,
the movie.
It was all the message was there should be no absolute good or bad, no light versus no light, you know, good, you know, dark side versus light side.
So you want your good guys to do something to the story.
It's all blended in gray area and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're talking philosophy. I want some. Where's the sword fights? Where's the fun here? And by the way, these characters are boring. Why? Because you're preaching. I want you to be entertaining.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, we need some Star Wars movies that, quite honestly, are an hour 45. Okay, not 2 hours plus.
On the story rather than the peripheral characters that aren't going to do anything.
Exactly. The central characters get some chemistry going like you had in Jumanji, like you had in the original Star Wars movies, like you have in so many of these good movies. Get some chemistry, have some fun, and relax.
You need a good bad guy.
Yeah, and a better bad guy. Oh, that would help.
All right. Let's do this. U.S. Gold Coin coming up next. It's 1-800-HOT-COIN. They would love to help you build some wealth insurance, we call it. What we mean by that is... get some gold and silver in your portfolio. Stave off inflation. It's really easy. USGoldCoins.com is a website. But the best thing to do, and Andy Goss will say this all the time, the owner there, just give them a call. 1-800-HOT-COIN. They'll walk you through what it takes to get you some wealth insurance. Call them now. When you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Inflation, the continual increase of the general price of goods and services with a simultaneous fall of the purchasing value of your money. Inflation is happening right here and right now, and every one of your dollars is shrinking smaller and smaller by the day. There is something you can do to curb the constant escalation of inflation. Call Andy Goss from usgoldcoins.com. Andy will teach you how to protect your money against inflation by collecting valuable, inflation-resistant gold and silver coins. Andy is offering every KLZ listener a chance to receive his 3 CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and How to Protect Your Wealth, all for free. All you have to do is call 800-HOT-COIN and mention KLZ. And if you call right now, Andy will include the Blue Book, the quintessential guide to U.S. coins. Stem the tide of inflation and secure your future with beautiful, tangible, and very valuable gold and silver coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-HOT-COIN. That's 800-HOT-COIN. Call now.
Fact. When the car radio was introduced, many U.S. states wanted to ban them, arguing that it would distract drivers and cause accidents. Fact. In the early 20th century, horses caused so much pollution with their poop that cars were considered the green alternative. And fact. About 90% of people choose their auto repair shop because it's closest to their home or work. The last fact is unfortunate because it's not the best way to choose the person that you're supposed to trust to repair and maintain your car. At ColoradoSelect.com, you'll find a group of hand-picked member shops whose main goal is to provide exceptional customer service at affordable prices. So you may not know that in Russia, it's a criminal offense to drive around in a dirty car, or that the highest recorded mileage on one vehicle is 2,850,000 miles. But now you do know that when it's time to find a mechanic that you can trust, all you need is ColoradoSelect.com. Keep your car on the road. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 1 for Sportsman of Colorado right here on KLZ 560. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate, Party Choice, movie reviews. We did Deadpool and Show Dogs. Dave Keita also with us today. And what do you want to finish off there, Andy?
We can look at once again, we got Solo coming next week, and then
Star Wars, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they also release Future World, because that's got that Road Warrior type of action.
Okay.
By the way, did you see the latest Mad Max that came out just a couple few years ago?
Yeah, it was okay.
I couldn't stand it. I thought it was terrible.
Really?
It was not as good as
Academy
the first
Awards.
One.
I was like,
I thought Charlize Theron was so good in it.
I couldn't get through the ending even.
I mean,
I watched like 2/3 of it.
It was pretty,
it good.
But ugh,
no problem. I want to see.
It just wasn't that great.
I want to see Future World. Stars James Franco, who just knocked it out of the park with his last role.
Agree.
And Mila Jovovich is in it from Resident Evil. You know, I love her. And Suki Waterhouse, Lucy Liu. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm hoping they might go limited release, so it may not come out next week. I'm hoping it does. I want to review that along with Solo. My prediction on Solo is average. They just haven't been hitting on all cylinders. It's basically been like you're saying, a little too much preaching, little too little entertaining.
And like Rogue One, this is going to be separate from the other ones. Rogue One was I know a lot of the people out there like it, but I just didn't like it. I thought it was kind of flat. The characters were flat. The bad guy was the only part that was good. Darth Vader, except for that last 15 seconds, was weak. I don't know. I just didn't like, you know, it's like his little thing. Oh, don't choke on your words. You're like, come on. I don't know. It's just the sets were cool though with that one. But I'm hoping
gorgeous.
For a lot more. Like I said, I really like Donald Glover. This guy's blowing up. He's really, really talented. You know, he's all over the place, and he's a really good actor. I think he's going to really – hopefully he doesn't have to carry the movie, but I think he's going to be good.
Is he Lando?
Lando, yeah. And then
word is he steals the show.
Right, right.
As Lando Calrissian.
That's kind of what I've heard, too. But this other guy is really good, and I think that just the coolness of Han Solo. And I heard that they kind of took some more inspiration from the extended universe and the actual stories that they wrote with George Lucas's permission, you know, during the in-between years.
Well, the thing is, how can you blow that? I mean, Han Solo is the lovable rogue, you know, and he's meeting Chewbacca, who's funny and good. I mean, how can you not succeed with that premise? So I'm hoping.
I mean, they could blow it.
They could, I guess, you know, and I'm sorry to be so down. It's just that I'm concerned that they might. And so we'll see. But as you know, the movie I'm waiting for is Tag, and that comes out on June 15th. And I've decided that God is angry at me for some reason because he's making me wait until June 15th to see Tag.
Why?
Because it looks funny. Out.
So you want to see it sooner than that?
Oh, yes. Let's face it. There's the only really funny, truly funny movie that sustained the laughs that we've seen probably in the last 6 months was Jumanji. I'm sure there are one or two that I'm missing. But that I can remember was Jumanji that sticks out. Tag looks that funny. this, you know, just and it's a true story. It's based on several guys who literally play tag for like, I think, 30 days a year. And to where they've got a, they're old friends, and they literally have to tag each other. And if you get tagged, you're it. And they're doing it to each other. Like one guy is a surgeon, and somebody comes and tags him while he's in the middle of performing a surgery.
Is this Happy Madison, or was it Chris Rock in that?
Is Chris Rock in this? No. No, but he
would have a different movie.
He would have done well in it. It just looks very funny. And they and one guy has never been tagged. He's played by Jeremy Renner, who can be a very funny guy. And so they're just trying to chase each other all over the place to try to make sure that they, and they mainly want to get him because he's never been gotten. He's ready to retire. He's ready to give up the tag game. And he's getting married. And so they figure, okay, he's at his wedding. How can we possibly miss? He's stuck there at the altar. And so they're going to tag him while he's getting married. No. It just looks funny.
They
looks
like
very
do
funny.
This diving
yeah.
leap.
Exactly. But he does the ole thing. And so looks great. Can't wait to see Tag. There's not much that I'm really looking forward to. Ocean's 8, which comes out a week earlier, looks fun.
That's the
it
girl.
Looks really good, Ocean's actually. 11.
Yeah. The all-girl heist movie.
Right.
That looks fun.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Looks
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway, Cate Blanchett, who, by the way, my favorite
awesome.
actress.
She's great in Thor.
Oh, she's always good.
What about Book Club?
I did not see it. Well, no. It's more of an, how do I put this? It's an elderly movie.
Okay.
Which can be great, but elderly semi-chick flick. I mean, I'm sorry, that last elderly movie that I saw with Morgan Freeman last year has kind of scared me off from watching.
The one where they were the bank robbers?
It was awful.
I was just
it was deadly awful.
I was in physical pain.
I like Alan Arkin though too. It was too bad that movie wasn't good.
Yeah, I was in physical pain at that one. So I'm not sure I want to. That's why I didn't go to it, and I went to a kid flick instead, which was absolutely disastrous. So, who knows? Next week also, the week after, next week's Solo and Future World, but the week after, Upgrade. I want to see that. I'm looking forward to that. That's the guy, his wife is brutally attacked and murdered. She's left dead. He's paralyzed. But this billionaire inventor offers him an experimental cure that will upgrade his body. So it's like a chip that
saw
they implant. Yeah, they implant it on his spinal column. And now, not only can he walk, but he's got like superpowers.
Like
he's like
Deadpool. $6 million
man. Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
Only with an actual body. And
we have the technology. We can rebuild him.
Exactly. And so now, you know, I love a good revenge flick. I love revenge
flick. Oh, yeah,
flick.
Revenge
movies.
Yeah.
Revenge movies are great.
Right.
John Wick's a good movie.
John Wick is sweet.
I like John Wick. I like the second one, too.
I hadn't seen either one of those until the other day. I watched them, and
very the fighting
good.
In it is just so cool.
Yeah, they're good movies.
Yes.
I would not have thought they were, but it was actually very, very good.
One thing I like about the action in John Wick is it doesn't do this thing, which a lot of action movies do, where it's somebody is kind of leaning back on one foot, and they do a bottom foot chest kick to somebody who flies through a wall.
Yeah.
That would be impossible, and I hate that kick. I hate it when they do that. It takes me right out.
All right, take a timeout. We'll come right back. Hold that thought, Andy. Don't go anywhere. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. They are in the heart of Parker, ready to take care of you. Don't forget they work on fleets and also our AAA Top Shop of the Year, 303-841-1071. Also help on drive radio on a routine basis and a part of Colorado Select. So in the heart of Parker, 10274 South Ransfeld Road, it's Extreme Auto Repair. Give them a call today and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Dennis Brewster and his team truly offer the best customer service. And now they have a plaque to prove it. Out of more than 130 AAA-approved auto repair shops in Colorado, John Rush and all of us at KLZ congratulate Extreme Auto Repair for winning AAA's Top Shop of 2017. Too many businesses claim the best customer service without substantial proof. Dennis and his team don't need to tout their own excellence because AAA says it for them. In order to meet AAA standards, each auto repair shop must submit customer surveys with scores averaging 95%. In 2017, Extreme Auto Repair received rankings over 99%. AAA also applauds community involvement, and Extreme Auto Repair helps to support the Parker Task Force, the Patriot Anglers, Project Cure, Project Sanctuary, and the Rotary Club. By awarding Extreme Auto Repair the Top Shop of 2017, AAA has acknowledged what we here at KLZ knew all along. Dennis Brewster goes above and beyond. Visit AAA's Top Shop of 2017 in Parker today, where they have earned the word best.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dave Keita with us this afternoon, as well as Andy Pate, Party of Choice. Movie reviews, we just ended. Andy, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had a quick break there. We've got about a, I don't know, minute and a half or so left.
Well, another thing that frustrates me is that, you know, we want good kid movies. Mm-hmm. The next one isn't until also on the 15th, along with Tag, is The Incredibles 2. And the only kid movie that has sold and really done well is Peter Rabbit, which came out a couple months ago, which was another
animal.
It was weird, but at least it did well, and at least it had good moments.
And from what I understand about Incredibles 2, if you're on the fence about whether your kids are old enough to be able to watch it first, because there's some things, I guess, in it.
Really?
That there's some things that were being cut. We don't know what edits we're going to get, and there's a lot of adult things. I mean, the last one had these weird adult themes too, with the guy, you know, it's like suicide is funny at the beginning, and it's like these people, and it's like there's a lot of like this innuendo, and
but it didn't explore any of them, so it wasn't damaging.
Exactly,
but you worry that in the next movie they'll explore.
Who knows? Yeah, I heard there was like that cannibal scene or something that's been cut, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I heard you should beware.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, I'm actually I love The Incredibles.
Yeah,
I did.
But I own it. I think maybe it may have been made for the people. You know, it took 15 years or something to make this movie, and for the people who were younger before, and now it's made for them as a more mature audience.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
So, yeah, it looks great. I want to see it, but I just don't know if my kids are going to be able to.
We need a good kid movie, guys. We need a babysitter. Hollywood, you're not coming through
us. That's a kid. A good kid movie is a babysitter.
Exactly.
The kids go. They don't move. They don't cry. They don't fuss. They just watch.
Hollywood is forcing parents to actually interact with their children.
Oh,
and I mean, that's horrible. That's almost hostile.
That's
torture.
Not good. All right, let's do this. We will end this hour. If it's getting close to the 7 o'clock hour, don't forget Drive Radio tomorrow right here on KLZ 560. 10 to 1 every single Saturday. Any car questions you've got, give us a call. We'll answer those questions tomorrow. Andy Pate again, Party of Choice. Dave Keaton, by the way, and you can stick around if you want to. We're going to talk some we're going to talk why are millennials so obsessed with going to college when we come back. So if you want to hang around, feel free. It's totally up to you. We'll be right back. Hour number two coming your way. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.